To another episode of the Draft on Draft podcast. I am your host, Corey Kinnon. Dalton is out today, and this week, as we said, is going to be a little spotty. I will be in Indianapolis, and Dalton was granted his visa status back, so he is actually moving back to Portugal. So he might be a little on and off this week, but filling in today, breaking down the combine is this week in Indianapolis, so I have none other than SB Nation's JP Acosta. JP, how are you? And welcome to the show. This is your first time.
Yeah, I'm doing great. This is my first time on. I feel like this is something that's been meant to happen. We've been doing this for a while now. I think this is meant to happen.
I agree. I always like having, I've been able to navigate and network in the industry a little bit. And of course, always happy to have on some good buddies that I've networked with over the years. But yeah, JP, how's life at SB Nation? How is life at this season of the NFL draft cycle for you? How are you doing? How are you hanging in there?
Oh man, it's definitely been a process, especially because at SB Nation, I am technically a football writer. So that means wherever football's being played, I'm there writing about it. So to turn off my NFL brain around like November, December, while continuing to write columns and stuff for the playoffs and try and transition into NFL draft stuff, it's definitely new and something that I've been trying to work on since I've been at SB Nation, but I really feel like we're hitting our stride this year. And I feel like this has been, it's always really fun talking about the draft, writing about the draft. It's what got me into this space in general. So I have fun doing it.
Love it. We got to get you to Indy one of these years. We got to get you.
We're trying. We got to get there.
All right. So what JP and I have planned is one, we're just going to break down briefly, spend 5 minutes talking about what the NFL Combine means, what it doesn't mean, kind of some overarching expectations, and maybe some level setting heading into the week. And then we thought it would be fun to do a snake draft of players that we thought are going to blow up the Combine. We're not going position by position. We're going by whatever player you want to draft, and we're filling out one player at each position. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun as well. But JP, you wrote an article, and we talked about it in our group chat a little bit, about kind of level setting expectations heading into Indianapolis. What was your biggest takeaway from putting that piece together and kind of where your mindset is at as we get to watch these players test, they go to the podium and they talk to every single media member known to God's green earth, all of that?
I think the biggest thing that I learned writing that story is that a lot of this doesn't matter. Like something that we talked about was, if you know a guy is fast on tape and in pads while running from other people, he's probably going to be fast in nobody's chasing you in the 40. If you're running fast with people chasing you, you're probably going to be fast in the 40. But where I think that we can really learn and where we can really get more about a player's athletic ability is watching hip movement and ankle flexion. Those are the things that you can't necessarily see when it comes to a game environment, game speed, because everything's just happening so fast. So getting to the combine and watching the combine for the hip movement, the flexibility, the explosion. I love watching the jumps, the broad jump, vertical jump, because those are really the greater tests of explosion, and then the agilities, be able to change direction. That's the biggest thing that I talked about, is the change of direction drills being super important when it comes to NFL evaluation, because everything else outside of that in the combine is largely, there's no stimuli. There's like I said, nobody's chasing you in the 40. Nobody's holding you down when you try and do the vertical jump. But when you're changing direction, you are changing the path in the way that you are going. That is the response to stimuli that's going to really impact NFL performance.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about the need to, I love going, I for the most part, if you're a media member in Indianapolis, going to actually like to Lucas Oil Stadium and watching the combine live isn't a great experience. Like there's really no point in doing it except for the quarterback and wide receiver day. Because I want to see how those guys move, especially we're talking about guys like going back to last year's class, Javon Baker, Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas Jr., who ran really limited route trees in college. And so I think on our scouting reports, sometimes we just feel like, well, this guy runs a limited route tree. He can't run routes, he can't, but maybe we just didn't see him do it. And so you go to the combine, and I just remember being blown away by how Brian Thomas Jr. moved and the way that Javon Baker sunk his hips, even though he was in a Mickey Mouse UCF bounce house offense there. And then on the opposite end of that, like seeing how hard it was for Troy Franklin to stay on the line in the gauntlet, or how hard it was for him to sink his hips and get in and out of breaks. It's like, okay, this guy really is just a vertical shot, which at the end of the year, that's all Denver really asked him to do. And he kind of started to fall into it there a little bit. And I think, again, I think where my mind needs to adjust a little bit this year, and this is a Bo Nix thing where I like wasn't super high on Bo Nix because I was watching him throw after J.J. McCarthy and Joe Milton. I was like, well, clearly his arm isn't as good as people think it is. But maybe it's just because he was throwing behind two quarterbacks who exclusively throw fastballs. And maybe that's okay. And just trying to reset my eyes there a little bit as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to watching the quarterbacks at the combine. It's everybody wants to see the deep ball at the end of the session where, like, I think Joe Milton threw the ball like 70 yards last year, and it went around like Twitter. It went viral because, like, yeah, we knew that guy had an arm coming in. But ultimately, for these guys, especially the quarterbacks during these, if you knew he had a strong arm going in, that's probably not going to change. If you knew his arm wasn't as strong, of course that might change with a combine viewing, but a lot of that stuff is just not going to change with them throwing to people that they don't know on like an instant, like you get out there and you throw it to a guy. So I think something that you said earlier was really stood out is watching the receivers in those drills instead of the quarterbacks intently, because those are the guys that really have to respond to, like I said, the changes that happen, you know, seeing their change of direction. A perfect example from last year is Keon Coleman, who ran the slow 40. Everybody thought like, oh my God, this guy is going to be a bust because he ran slow. But then you watch him do the drill down the line, and he looked so much better than Troy Franklin, who we talked about, who ran a faster 40. So it's those type of things that I really like to see, and something that I think I'm recalibrating on going into this combine.
Yeah, and it's really nice that Next Gen Stats is starting to have like the live speed tracking stuff like, during the drills and stuff too, because it's really important at running back. Like Blake Corum ran a 4.5, but he plays at 4.5 speed. Some of these guys who run at 4.3 play at 4.5 speed. So it's like, I want to know like how smoothly are they getting through these drills and stuff like that too. But and then with quarterbacks, one last thing before we get into this draft here is like, it's so much pageantry. It's just so much pageantry that like, especially like the deep balls where like, watch the landmarks. Are they leveraging it towards the boundary? Is it within the fingertips? Like deep balls are such a low probability shot that like, as long as they're not like forcing receivers to track it back onto the numbers, or if they're not forcing receivers to like really extend, like just judge the landmark. But okay. That's enough, I think, of breaking down kind of level setting and expectations going into the combine. So, JP, I will let you pick first in the snake draft, being the guest of the show here. Again, no rules here. Really go whatever position you want, and we'll just go through this, and we'll mark this off as we go here.
So my first pick here is probably the most athletic guy that's actually going to test, hopefully, and run at the combine. I'm going to go with Nick Emmanuel, safety from South Carolina. Okay. And he's a guy that I sort of got to around late in the process. I was watching a lot of Kyle Kinnard, a lot of TJ Sanders. I love watching the defensive line. But as I kept watching these guys play, I kept seeing this giant safety for South Carolina flying downhill and tattooing people. And I'm like, who is this dude? So if you don't know, Nick Emmanuel is about 6'3", 227, 228. He plays safety for South Carolina. He's going to probably go – I think he's – going to go in round one, because you just don't find guys with those athletic tools and then the versatility that he has at South Carolina. But he is absolutely going to dominate the combine testing. It's kind of like what we said earlier. If we know a guy is athletic, he's going to break a lot of guys' brains. He's going to jump out the gym. He's going to run really fast. And I think he's going to move really well in the positional drills.
Yeah, I agree. Nick Emmanuel is also a top 10 player on both Dalton and I's boards. So podcast listeners, regulars should be very well acquainted with Nick Emmanuel. If you're going to give me the obvious one, I'm going to take the obvious one here, and that's going to be Shamar Stewart, the edge rusher.
That was my second pick.
And I'm taking Shamar Stewart here. Again, 6'5", close to 6'6", 281 pounds, and the dude might run a 4.5 40. Like, he might run a 4.5 40 and jump 38, 39 inches. Like, he's going to explode. He's going to blow the roof off of Lucas Oil Stadium. You know, we saw Anthony Richardson get a pure 10 out of 10 RAS score, or that's redundant, relative athletic score, a couple of years ago. And I think Shamar Stewart might flirt with a 10 out of 10 RAS here with this week in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think for him, a lot of the athletic measurables and comparables were to Trayvon Walker, but I think Shamar Stewart is going to run a whole lot faster than Trayvon Walker, which is terrifying. I love Shamar Stewart. I wrote last week about how I think he is a much better prospect than a lot of the stats that get thrown around will say. Like, I know the 4.5 sacks over 3 years is something that definitely gets thrown out in terms of knocks on him. But when you watch him play, this is not a guy that like moves or the pass rush playing of a 4.5 career sack guy. It's just more of the actually bringing the guy to the ground. And so I think with a really good combine performance, he's absolutely going to tear up. He's going to tear up the combine. It's going to be insane.
And he's going to go top 10. Like, you just don't pass. Pass on traits like that early. All right. I am back up and I'm going to kind of cop out here because, you know, there's really only one really athletic quarterback in this class. And I feel like I should just go ahead and snag him here. To be seen, I would assume he would test because I don't know what he has to lose at this point. But that's going to be Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe. I'm just going to go ahead and pluck the guy who might run a 4.3 40 here right off the board.
Yeah, I mean, when Nick Saban says that you are the fastest player on the Alabama football team, I would say that you're probably going to test outrageously. I mean, the second gear that he can hit is just unbelievable for a guy who's like maybe going to be 230. So I just want to see him run. Like, I don't care about throwing. I know what he's going to look like when he throws the ball. Like, I get it, but I just want to see him run.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm a little interested because it did seem like he was working through, and the reason he was kind of so bad in Mobile is that he was very, very intently trying to recorrect some bad lower half mechanics. So we'll see if that's maybe smoothed out a little bit when he's throwing to guys in shorts. Again, different than 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 in Mobile. But yeah, pretty interested there. All right, JP.
I'm debating between two, but I think I'm going to go with TCU wide receiver Savion Williams.
Okay. He's on my list.
Again, I'm going with big, fast dudes. If you know me, if you show me a big dude who runs fast, I'm like, yeah, I can fix him. Savion Williams is massive. I think 6'4", 6'5", 225. He's going to run insanely fast. They had him doing sort of the Deebo Samuel, like, wildcat quarterback stuff. I'm still a little worried as a prospect for him because he seems like he does like half of the receiver stuff and like half of the running back stuff. Well, not doing either of those right very well.
Very Cordero Patterson-esque.
Yes. Yeah. Very like jumbo jet Cordero Patterson. So I wonder which team is going to see Savion Williams dominate the combine and go, yeah, I'll figure something out for him.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, back to you.
Oh, man. My next one, I'm going to go with a guy that I think it might be one of my favorite players in this class, and that is Alabama linebacker Jahad Campbell. Ooh,
good pick.
I think this dude is incredible. Like, he stood out during the early portion of scouting, during the early part of the season. I think there was a play against Wisconsin where they're in, like, Tampa 2, and he's running with the post from number 2 receiver, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm in. Like, that's all I needed to see. The dude is, according to Bruce Feldman, he's going to try and run in the 4.4s at the combine at 6'3", 250 pounds. He's an insane player. He is what a modern linebacker should be. And I think he's going to absolutely blow up this combine and get a lot of guys talking about him.
Yeah, I'm going to go defensive side of the ball here, too. I also love Jahad Campbell, one of the better covers linebackers I think I've ever seen, and the ability to hit landmarks, anticipate backside digs coming in behind him, stuff like that. Unreal instincts. I'm going to go with another big dude who is expected to run a sub-5 second 40-yard dash at 343 pounds, and that's going to be Kenneth Grant, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to take Kenneth Grant off the board here as my defensive tackle. All right, so I've got my edge, got my DT. I'm in no rush to get linebacker because linebacker's off the board. No rush to get wide receiver. Oh, okay. I'll take the other obvious one here then. I'm going to take Tyler Warren.
Oh, man.
I'm going to take Tyler Warren.
Yep.
Tight end out of Penn State. Again, 6'6", 260 pounds. Freak athlete, converted quarterback. He's going to run in the 4.5s. He's going to leap 35 plus. He's going to do some nutty stuff. And it all translates onto his tape as well. It's not like he's a workout warrior. When you watch his tape, it's like, okay, this guy's really explosive, and he can beat you vertically through the air. He can beat you in the open field, and he's even got a little wiggle in those big ass hips of his. So, yeah, I'm going to take Tyler Warren.
Yeah, Warren's a great pick here. The thing that stands out about him athletically when you watch him is sort of, like you said, that vertical explosiveness, where he can create so much of his own space in the air because he has a wide catch radius and because he can get up so much. Okay. So, like, it's sort of become cliche to say a receiver can turn 50-50 balls into 60-40, but Tyler Warren absolutely can do that because of his athletic ability. I think, like you said, he's going to jump 35+. He's going to run insane. He's going to lock up that top 10, top 5 prospect in this class marker for sure. Mm-hmm. That leaves me with a few interesting picks here. I don't know where I'm going to go here. I have my linebacker. I don't have an edge yet. I have a receiver, and I have safety. I'm going to pick a guy. I'm going to pick a running back here that I think is going to go – that I think is going to use a huge combine to kind of boost his draft stock. I'm going to go Texas running back Jadon Blue. I think he is the fastest running back in this class, and that's saying something with guys like Travion Henderson in the class, with Rashard Smith still in the class, but his explosiveness and that ability just to hit that second gear is going to be on display in the 40, and he's going to tear up the receiving drills because that's kind of what he did at Texas. So I'm going to go Jadon Blue here.
Love it. All right. Yeah, he was on my list. I wanted him, but that's fine. All right, back to you.
I'm going to go ahead and grab my interior offensive line here. And shout out to Clay Fink, who posted his basketball highlights last week. Marcus Bone, give me the basketball highlights. If you could tell me an offensive lineman played basketball in high school, that's a first rounder. He was a three-sport athlete in high school. The feet, the athletic movement that you see on the tape in high school that shows up on the field, I think he's going to absolutely move through those drills like butter. He's going to be a guy that I'm super high on playing interior. I think he can play center if you need him to. I'm so high on this kid. I think that he's going to be incredible, and let your athletes play basketball, because if they move like prime DeJuan Blair out there, I'm going to want him on my offensive line.
I love it. Yeah, he was definitely the priority for me there along the interior, but I will adjust. All right, let's go to offensive tackle. And this one's a bit of a sleeper. I am going to go with UConn's Chase Lund.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to go with UConn's Chase Lund here at offensive tackle. Again, 6'7", big dude. Super smooth athlete in a wide zone offense at UConn. I think he's going to run with it really well. If he does agilities, he's going to do some freaky stuff at his agilities at his size. Again, he had to drop out of the Senior Bowl because he did get hurt in the bowl game. So I'm hoping that's not the case here at the combine. We get to see him do some nutty stuff, but I'm going to go UConn's Chase Lund for my offensive tackle.
That's a good one. That's a good pick right there.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that. All right. Corner. I feel like that's the only one neither of us have picked yet. It is the only one that neither of us has picked yet, which means it's my last chance to get my first pick, and I'm going to go with Kentucky's Maxwell Hairston.
Ooh, okay.
Who is twitched up? So if he does agility, he should be able to do that. And he's explosive as all get out. I've heard some rumors he's going to try to run a sub-4.4. So if he gets down to the 4.3s, that'll look really pretty. He's already been kind of like that rumored wild card first round pick in a cornerback class, and the league always needs more corners. So I'm going to take Kentucky's Maxwell Hairston, who is despite he's kind of that Emmanuel Forbes, Kobe Bryant kind of build though, where he's really slender. But I think he's going to do some crazy stuff in the explosiveness drills and in the 40, especially in that like 10 yard split range as well. We might see something pretty crazy there. So Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky.
That's why I think he's going to really, those 10-yard splits, the agilities, those will kind of make up for sort of the slight build, because if you're able to use his instincts, use the agility that he has, I think you can find a role for him on your team. So that's another great pick. I really do like how he plays. I love the mentality that he brings. I was really excited to try and see him in Mobile, but he didn't practice. But I think he's going to tear up the combine too. I'm going to go with a sleeper offensive lineman. Okay. And I think if he's healthy, I was excited to watch him in Mobile. Didn't get to watch him because he wasn't there. I'm going to go with William and Mary tackle Charles Grant.
Nice. And nice.
This was a guy, Jordan Reed wrote about him. And I was like, okay, that's all I need to see to kind of turn on the tape for him. He's going to come in a little light. I think they list him at 300 pounds flat, but he can move. And you can see some of the ability to cut off backside, the ability to get up to the second level on the zone runs. I think for a team that really likes to use that wide zone, try and get those linemen to the second level, I think Charles Grant is going to absolutely tear up the agilities. I think he's going to run fast. And I think he's just going to look really good, especially coming off of the injury, gave himself more time to kind of heal up after the regular season. But Charles Grant is going to be my pick here.
Yeah, he's got an excellent frame as well. And I know people will say, like, he's been 5 years, he hasn't gained any weight, but he was also at an FCS program. So I'd be really interested to see him get into, like, an NFL program and see if they can put some meat on that bones. But going with a sub-300 offensive lineman is a good choice here. All right, back to you here for your snake pick.
Oh, man. So I have my running back, have a receiver, don't have tight end or quarterback, don't have defensive tackle or edge or corner, which is crazy for me to not choose a defensive tackle or edge yet. I am going to go with Donovan Azaraku.
Ooh, okay.
And I think the thing that stands out the most for me with him is the burst. I think the 40 will be fine for a guy who's 250, 248. I don't think he'll like blow anybody out of the water when it comes to the 40 time, but that 10-yard split is going to be insane. Mm-hmm. And you can see the explosiveness on tape. You can see the ability to bend, the ability to dip around the corner. And I think that coming in with longer arms, if he can be explosive and tear up the individual drills, which I think he's going to, he's another one of those guys I think is going to try and really play his way into possibly the back end of round one. He's had an incredible postseason circuit, and people are really starting to figure like, oh yeah, this guy from Boston College who had double digit sacks this year actually can play ball. So I think Azaraku is going to tear up this combine.
Yeah, I really do love that pick for edge as well. I had him kind of in there like three or four down. Oh, okay. I need a running back. I need a wide receiver. I needed an interior offensive lineman, a linebacker, and a safety. So here's the thing is, like, do I get cute or I just go with a solid guy? I'm not going to get cute at safety. Just give me Malachi Starks. I could have gotten cute, yep. but just give me Malachi Starks. We know Starks can fly. We know Starks can play. Super fluid athlete on tape. Really explosive trigger coming back downhill. So it all translates to film as well. And then the amount of ball skills and interceptions we've seen him just vertically through the air, making some acrobatic catches as well. I think it all translates from tape to track. And I think we're going to see some fun stuff from Malachi Starks. My guy that I was like thinking about is like Virginia's Jonas Sanker can flat out.
Okay.
Fly. He can flat out fly, but I was like, I'm not going to get cute here. We'll just go Malachi Starks.
Yeah. Starks is kind of getting on the receiving end of prospect fatigue this year. We're like, oh, like we're trying to find stuff at this point with him, but he's going to test out of the water in agilities. I think the explosiveness is going to be there. He's going to remind a lot of people that like, yeah, he's still really good at football.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. I could go linebacker. I guess it doesn't matter because you've already drafted up positions there. Let's go wide receiver. I'm going to take Stanford's Elik Ayomanor.
I love that pick as
my wide receiver. I thought about maybe Juice Wells because Juice Wells can flat out fly and play. I thought about Ty Felton because he might run a sub 4.4, and I thought about Luther Burden. But Elik Ayomanor he's like first team all body coming off the bus, right? Like first team off the bus kind of guy. So I think even in drills like bench, because I don't think his arms are exorbitantly long, he might bench the best out of any receiver in this class. Although I could see maybe like a Xavier Restrepo or one of those like tiny little muscle hamsters pound out like 17 of them just like bouncing off their chest with their super short arms. But I think Ayomanor across the board is explosive, 40 time agilities, because he plays really agile for a guy his size, which is actually something that really bugs me about him. But he plays really agile for his size. So I think he'll all around test pretty well. So I'm going to go Eli Manning for my wide receiver.
Yeah, the bench press one, that's a really good point, because something that stands out on tape is just how much of a willing blocker that he is, and mm-hmm. the ability to do that dirty work. Stanford would bring him in tight. He'd be digging out safeties on duo. But like you said, the agilities are there. I think he's going to be really explosive. And like you said, it's tough to pick for some of the receivers, because I think a guy like Jalen Royals, like you said, the small muscle hamster guys, like they could absolutely like kind of have a standout performance. But when it comes to Io Manor and just like you said, that first off the bus guy, he's absolutely going to make a lot of waves there.
Yeah. Oh man. For sure. Yeah. So that was that my first of two, or is that my second of my snake? I think that was the first of my snake.
I think that might've been the first. Yeah.
Or was Starks my first? I don't remember. I think it doesn't matter, because like, you just go ahead and go, because I do think Starks was a little bit.
Okay.
So
I need a defensive tackle and I need a quarterback, and then I need.
There's a sneaky one out there. There's a sneaky quarterback out there that I had down in case you went Milroe early.
I'm going to hold off on quarterback. I'm going to go with Syracuse tight end Ronnie Gadsden.
Ooh, who is nice.
Basically a big receiver at mm-hmm. this stage, but because he's a big receiver, I think he's going to test insanely well. He is we talk about multiple like balls of clay when it comes mm-hmm. to prospects a lot, but the long arms, the frame that Gadsden has, and just the explosiveness downfield. I think that Gadsden's going to really test out the water when it comes to receiving, when it comes to the explosiveness at the combine. He's going to tear it up. And I think that that's going to stand out for him, especially when it comes to this day three crop of tight ends who, you know, Gadsden was looked at really highly, and then he had a lot of injuries. But if he could come in healthy, clean bill, and test the way I think he does, he's going to definitely go like day three and really help a team's passing game immediately.
I love that pick. He was on my list as well. Again, converted wide receiver. What I was most impressed with is he's put on a lot of weight since he came to Syracuse, and it all looks like good weight. Looks really good. Yeah. And at the Shrine Bowl, he looked just as explosive, and he can move around pretty well at that weight. So I like that pick a lot.
So defensive tackle, I kind of went back and forth on a lot of these guys. I'm going to go with Tennessee defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott. And Norman Lott is a guy that I think he's going to tear up the agilities. I think he's absolutely going to have the quickest three cone, the quickest shuttle of the defensive tackles, because when you watch his tape, all of that lateral quickness and the lateral movement shows up. When you watch him defending the run, he's not going to like run through a guy's face and use arm length to stack and shed guys. No, he is going to try and cross a guy's face. He's going to try and slip under guys. And you can see it as a pass rusher as well. I think that explosiveness up the field, that's going to stand out in the 10-yard split. He's undersized. I think he's going to run a really good 40 for a defensive tackle, but those explosiveness and the agilities are really what's going to stand out for him.
I love that pick. Love that pick a lot. All right. I have to do linebacker, interior offensive line, and running back. And you have corner, interior offensive line, or no, quarter, corner, and quarterback. So
corner and quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, so I did mess it up. I have three to do. So I'll just go ahead and knock out my last three here, and yeah, you could take that. Let's start with linebacker here. I'm going to go with Oregon's Jeffrey Bosa.
That was my next guy, in case you pick Campbell.
So I was going between Bosa and Smile Mondon from Georgia, because they're both gonna be freaky. But Jeffrey Bosa, again, another first team off the bus guy. And when you look at Oregon's tape, second level, it's like, who's that rocked up linebacker? It's Jeffrey Bosa. Converted safety as well, so he's gonna move really, really well at the linebacker position. He's gonna fly. He's just gonna fly. We'll see. Again, he is so rocked up. I do wonder like how tight his hips are. because some of those muscle hamsters can't really move laterally all too well. But his explosives are going to be wild, and I think he should bench pretty well too. So I'm going to go Jeffrey Bosa at linebacker. Running back here, I'm going to fill it out with Dylan Sampson from Tennessee.
Okay.
So Dylan Sampson's an interesting case where I don't see the explosiveness translate on tape a whole lot, but he set school records in track and field in high school. He ran a 10.6 100 meter dash in high school, set a school record there. So like, he's clearly explosive, clearly. And at the goal line, you see that explosiveness too. Like, he won't go down and he turns into the end zone. But I don't necessarily see it translate onto tape as much as I would want to. But on the track, Dylan Sampson has been a proven burner. So I'm going to take Dylan Sampson as my running back here. And then I'll go ahead and wrap up here with my IOL and I'll get back to you. I'm debating between Jared Wilson from Georgia, but I think I'm going to go with USC's Jonah Monheim. And I'm really doing this because he has 29 inch arms. So even if I don't think his frame is super, super filled out, that dude should be able to bounce the bar off his chest quite a bit and lock out on the bench press pretty well. Again, played left tackle for 3 years before switching over to center this year at USC as well. So his movement skills are there. And they were evident at left tackle. I think he's going to be a really good wide zone. Relative term, he's going to be a serviceable wide zone center who will start games at the NFL level. And he moves laterally really, really, really well as well. But the 29-inch arms, I think, are what's going to push me towards Jonah Monheim over Jordan or Jared Wilson here as my interior offensive lineman.
That's a really good crop of guys to round it out. I love the Sampson pick. Love the long speed again. Kind of, like I said, didn't kind of show up on tape at Tennessee. It felt like Tennessee was really weird this year offensively, as they always are. But mm-hmm. I think Sampson's really a really fun player. Love the Monheim pick for the short arms. Like, he's just going to bounce the bar off him and bench press. I think that's perfect. So now I'm stuck here. I got corner and quarterback. I'm going to go ahead and knock out my corner first. I'm going to go Azariah Thomas from Florida State.
Okay.
And again, we talk about first off the bus guys, 6'2", long arms. That is, I mean, he is like Gus Bradley's fever dream of a corner in terms of the length, the speed. I think he's going to run really fast. The ball production, I think he's going to do really good in the explosiveness because it shows on tape. I think when you see a guy that lives in press man as much as Florida State does, that's going to stand out. The agility is going to stand out. I think Azariah Thomas is one of my favorite corners to watch on tape this year, just because he plays with that disposition of I'm on an island, you're not going to get past me. And I think that speed, that explosiveness vertically is really going to stand out at the combine. My quarterback is, oh gosh, I'm hesitantly going to say Will Howard here.
Okay.
I think Will Howard is probably going to be one of the better runners. I was really choosing between him and Riley Leonard because I think
that was my sleeper quarterback. I was going to go Leonard.
I'm going a little bit against the give me the guys who were good at basketball in high school here, but I think Will Howard's got the size. I think he's going to have enough of the functional athleticism for people to say, like, yeah, he can be a legitimate dual threat in the correct offense in the NFL. And I think he's going to throw it a little better than Leonard, but it was between him and Leonard out of these quarterbacks. It's not exactly a group that you want for dual threats or guys that are going to tear up the combine with their speed.
Yeah. It's really Milroe. And even if Shador and Cam were going to do stuff, and Cam still might, we haven't heard anything one way or the other. It's still really Milroe. And then the field here in terms of, combine superstars here. So, but that rounds it out really well for us. So just going back through here, and we will post this to Twitter and we will get answers about which team here is the best. I'm kind of surprised that neither of us went Armon Membau at offensive tackle. We might get some flack for that because he was on Feldman's freak list, but I think that's the only like glaring omission from this that I can really think about or see. Maybe Emory Jones in interior offensive line, because I think he'll do some kind of crazy stuff because he's got some awesome core strength and movement skills. But so JP's all combine drafted team is Ohio State's Will Howard at quarterback, Texas running back Jaden Blue, TCU wide receiver Savion Williams, Syracuse tight end Aronde Gadsden, William and Mary offensive tackle Charles Grant, Purdue interior offensive lineman Marcus Bowe, Boston College edge rusher Donovan Ezeraku, Tennessee defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott, Alabama linebacker Jihad Campbell, Florida State cornerback Azariah Thomas, and South Carolina safety Nick Emmonwori. For me, I have quarterback Jalen Milroe, running back Dylan Sampson, wide receiver Elik Ayomanor, tight end Tyler Warren from Penn State, UConn offensive tackle Chase Lund, USC center Jonah Monheim for my interior offensive lineman, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M at edge, Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle at Michigan, Jeffrey Bossa, linebacker from Oregon, Maxwell Hairston, corner from Kentucky, and then Malachi Starks, Georgia safety. JP, this was a pretty good exercise. And we talked through a lot of names right there, too.
Yeah, this was really fun. I enjoyed myself a lot. This is awesome.
Yeah, that was really great. So, yeah, we'll post this to Twitter. We'll get some answers from the people. And then, you know, we might have to come back and reevaluate. Add a little RAS next to some of these guys. And we might get some NAs because, you know, some guys might not decide to do anything. But, yeah, we'll come back and we'll look at this. But, JP, thanks so much for joining the show. Do you have anything you want to close with? Where can the people find you who are listening to you for the first time?
Of course, you can find me on social media, on Twitter at Acosta32_JP, on Blue Sky at Acosta32JP. I am the football writer, like I said, for SB Nation, but I specialize in NFL draft. We're doing a whole lot of heavy draft work. I wrote about hips far too much last week. So if you want to go read my thoughts on hips and hip movement going into the combine, check that out. Gonna have a lot more NFL draft profiles coming out. Also find our work on TikTok. I'm starting to take over. SB Nation gave me the login info to the TikTok. So you're gonna see more of my face on social media, a whole lot more. But make sure to follow, see what I'm doing, and see where I'm going.
Love it. JP's an awesome dude. Make sure you are following along. But until next time, you know, I'm again heading off to Indianapolis on Wednesday afternoon/evening. So I'll get there a little bit late. But so again, episodes might be a little spotty this week, but we'll do our best to work through it. I've got some guys who are going to be in Indy who would be happy to jump on while Dalton is doing his thing, getting back to Portugal this week as well. But until next time, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.